Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome, everybody. Monday edition of SJS here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Steve Jones wishing each and every one of you a good afternoon. We bring Kevin Herr in as well. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. By the way, the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament raised better than $23,000 for the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. We are privileged to be a part of that. And again, we're always privileged to have Purdy Insurance on as our Monday sponsor. Go to PurdyInsurance.com, again, located at Market Street in Sunbury. I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Hilsers General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilsers General Store. Go to www.hilsersstore.com. And don't forget Hilsers General Store, located 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on Routes 11 and 15. Aaron Hernandez, of course, the swirl around him as that case gets more interesting, it seems, by the day. Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final returns to Boston tonight, and we'll see if the Cup will be won tonight. Possibilities open, or if we go to a Game 7. It's actually really one of the quieter times of the year in sports. Yes, Major League Baseball's rolling on. Minor League Baseball spikes back at home with Jamestown tonight. We'll talk about that and get you up to date on the baseball standings. But first, here is Above the Noise with Dan Patrick.
Hi, this is Susan Purdy. For over 85 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. Our trained and knowledgeable staff has centuries of experience, so rest assured your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 286-5855, check us out online at purdyinsurance.com, or visit us on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
From their very first words to every recital, game, and late-night school project, as a parent, you've seen it all. Luckily, every year the Chrysler Town & Country event brings you the most innovative minivan in its class. With so many features, you'll forget it all comes standard. Like 36 safety and security features, leather trim seats, and stow-and-go seating. Because with everything you see year after year, you'll need a minivan that can handle anything. Come see it all now during the Chrysler Town & Country event.
Now, get a low-mileage lease on Town & Country Touring for $219 a month for 24 months with $29.99 due at signing for well-qualified lessees. Tax, title, and license extra. Based on Chrysler Group Premium Minivan Segment, leather trim first and second rows. Call 1-888-CHRYSLER for details. 25-cent charge for each mile over 20,000. Requires dealer contribution and lease through Chrysler Capital. Residency restrictions apply. Take delivery by 7-8. Chrysler is a registered trademark of Chrysler Group, LLC.
Great to have you with us on this Monday, brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. Here in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. And the Hilsers General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilsers General Store. Go to www.hilsersstore.com. Hilsers General Store, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on Routes 11 and 15. Lance Van Auken from the Little League World Series Museum will join us to talk about some interesting items that they have there for you to see. Tomorrow, I think fans are going to love this one tomorrow very much. David Taylor, Penn State wrestler, will join us on the show tomorrow. Rafa Nadal, some thought it was a lack of respect that he ended up as a 5 seed at Wimbledon, the French Open champ. He's been battling injuries, but today was knocked out by the 135th ranked player in the world. The call of a guy who's been on our show before, Patrick McEnroe.
An absolute shocker. The two-time champ, Rafael Nadal, is out in round one to the Belgian.
Steve Dorsey's. What a performance.
Nadal, gone. Afterward, Rafa on the loss.
It's not the right day, so just I tried my best out there in every moment. Was not possible for me this afternoon. And that's all. No? The opponent played well. I had my chances. I didn't make it.
A disgrace. No, I'm just kidding. Lost 7-6, 7-6, 6-4 today in the opening round at Wimbledon. So Wimbledon off and running. Now, when it comes to grass court play, Nadal was credited as won twice, and it takes a lot for a baseliner to win at Wimbledon on grass. You have to be incredibly precise and almost like a backboard on your ground strokes, and he has been. But he's been banged up, hurt. It's not his best surface, yet he's won twice on it. But players such as Federer, Djokovic, Andy Murray, all better on the surface than he is anyway. He came in as the number 5 seed, beaten by the 135th player, ranked player in the world, the lowest ranked player that's ever beaten Nadal at a Grand Slam. But as I point out many times, there are 7 billion people in the world. Being ranked number 135 means that while you're not in the top 10 like Nadal, it also means that you're much better than the rest of us to begin with.
Isn't that the second time he's been dropped out? I guess it was second round last year, wasn't it?
Yeah. He said it's not his best surface. And last year, Andy Murray was the guy that won his way to the final, and then Federer beat them. Then Murray won the Olympic gold medal at Wimbledon and beat Federer.
What makes him so good on clay, but yet not as good on grass?
Ground strokes. You know,
but for grass,
grass is a serve and volley game. You serve it, okay? It skips off that to begin with, and sometimes there could be a rut, so it's not a true bounce. All right, and then you have to be very precise with your next stroke because usually that grass court player is at the net in a serve and volley game. You really don't serve and volley when it comes to clay court game. It is a baseline game, and you get a very true bounce off of clay. It also is a slower surface, easier for you to react to it as to where it's going and your ability to cover the court and get to it. And Nadal's always had great court coverage. Your court coverage on grass is not going to be as great because the ball skips. You don't get the true bounce, and the speed with which it skips off grass as opposed to the bounce off of clay, which slows it down, is a dramatic difference. I feel like Mr. Science.
We may have to give you, well, you already are Professor Jones, but we may have to give you the science professor cap now.
Right. But that's the reason why. And then there's in between, there's obviously when they play on the U.S. Open surface or at the Australian Open. It's really an in-between deal. I know the fans are, I think, probably excited about getting David Taylor on the show tomorrow.
Oh, that should be really good. Yeah.
Yeah. He's made the national team out of Oklahoma State. Cale Sanderson's working with that group as well. So we will talk to him about that. So there's a lot to talk about, deal with, and discuss with him. Obviously, you know, at some point I'll bring up the Kyle Dake deal. Didn't work in David's favor. It worked in Dake's favor this time. David's been to the final now 3 times in his career, and he's won once. So it's a big year for him. We'd love to go out, I'm sure, as a national champion, considering everything he's accomplished in his career. And we will talk to David Taylor on the show tomorrow. We have Lance Van Auken today. And don't forget our countdown to Pocono is now officially on. Mere, 12 days away?
And there's going to be a bunch of drivers because of the week off this week. They'll take advantage of it, do some closed spectator testing up at Pocono. I think that's, yeah, that'll be later this week.
Okay, fine. Penn State's going to have closed football practices in August. What?
Well, people, you know, and that brought up an that you bring up an interesting topic. Should there be such a thing? Should Penn State practices or any practice be closed? I mean, the NFL opens it up.
Absolutely.
I agree with
absolutely.
You.
Absolutely. Okay. All right. Where's everybody today? Are you working in the office at Wise Markets? Are you working over at the Geisinger office today? Are you listening to us maybe at, in the back room at Dunkin' Donuts? Do you have us on the radio over at Walmart, Target, in the back? We're not allowed in the back. Just because it's sports doesn't mean the rules are different.
What about the NFL? Should the NFL have open summer practices?
Nope. Business is business. If you want to let them in once in a while, fine. But business is business.
Yeah, I think you can have a couple of practices that might be open, but I wouldn't have everyone open.
Well, you only have a couple open because you're just trying to entice the fans and get them interested in the product.
Right.
But that's it. That's it. Yeah, I've always found it to be... I remember one time a fan was walking by a Penn State football practice. And the practice was where the lacrosse field is now. It's an all-grass field. And the manager went up and asked her to leave. It's a closed practice. And she got mad and complained to me about it. And I looked at her. I said, where do you work? She says, well, I work. And she told me some office. I said, would you like all of us to go over and just sit there and watch you work? She says, this is different. I said, no, it's not. I said, that's his office down there.
Maybe his job's more interesting.
His job is more interesting, but it's still his job. His job is not to open it to the entire world and let the entire world know what they're doing.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you.
Just because it's sports doesn't mean there are different rules. It is still a business. So if the Pittsburgh Steelers want to close a week's worth of practices and not let anybody in because there are certain things that they are working on that they think are going to be important to their season, fine. Because guess what? We don't get to sit in on board meetings, do we? I mean, I'd like to sit in right now on the Highmark board meeting and know exactly what they're doing with my insurance.
You know, one thing we haven't discussed is the Eagles not going to Bethlehem again.
Now, where are they going?
They're staying in Philly. That'll be where the camp is.
Now, more and more that's going on now.
And that's exactly right, because you have all your facilities right there. Why move it elsewhere? I've always wondered what the benefit of moving it elsewhere is. When you have all your facilities there all year long, why would you want to go somewhere else for a couple of weeks?
Because they use the dorms. You don't have housing facilities where you can keep everybody in a campus area. Okay.
I mean, is there a financial benefit there?
I doubt it.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so either.
I don't think there's a financial benefit. I just think there's a closed camp environment.
Yeah, it's sad for Lehigh University because, you know, that draws people and Bethlehem draws people to that area for a couple of weeks out of the summer. The same way with Pittsburgh going out to St. Vincent's and Latrobe, it draws people out in that area and helps the economy there. But I can also see the team's point of view of wanting to have everything in one spot and not having to move everybody all the time.
Right. Well, I would think, yeah, I would think so. I would think that that's what I'd want, but...
But there is an accessibility thing. You know, I have to admit, when you're down at these camps, you feel closer to the action when you're allowed in than you probably will be at the stadium. I'm looking at this from a fan point of view, so I know what you're thinking right now. I know what you're thinking. It goes back to they're working. I get that. I understand. But I, as a fan, it is really nice on those few days, two, three, whatever days you want to make, to have that ability to get near the field, on the field, up close and personal connection with the players.
Sure.
I'm glad I didn't have to convince you.
Sure, that's terrific. It's all marketing.
That's very true.
Big Ten Pac-12 will play in the Holiday Bowl. Big Ten Pac-12 will play in the Kraft Fight Hunger Bowl. Two California Bowls starting in 2014. Excellent moves by the Big Ten. Excellent. We'll explain why later.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And we welcome everyone back. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Chateau, a.k.a. the Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, the Hilsers General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilsers General Store. Go to www.hilsersstore.com. Hilsers General Store, 7 miles south of Seals Grove on Routes 11 and 15. We call out now on the Hilsers General Store hotline to Lance Van Auken, our good friend who has been so important to the movement of Little League Baseball in this country for a long time. Lance, welcome back to the show. It's our pleasure to have you. Hello, Lance.
Hey, Steve.
It's great to have you back on the show. Appreciate your time.
Thanks very much. Good to be here.
Tell us about the Babe Ruth jersey.
Well, it's something that kind of that fell into our laps. There's a family that the gentleman collects memorabilia from baseball past and from presidents, actually. But, you know, he was acquiring this uniform, and he wanted to have it in a place where a lot of people could see it, especially children. And we thought, you know, since the uniform itself has to do with connections between baseball here and overseas, that it was a very appropriate thing for us to put on display.
Incredible. And it just adds into everything else you've been able to collect over a period of time to give the museum a little bit of a boost.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The uniform itself was a complete uniform, the jersey, the pants, and the socks that were worn by Babe Ruth in a 1934 barnstorming tour of Japan, along with you know, other major leaguers of the day, Lou Gehrig and Jimmy Fox, people like that. And it's the only uniform he wore on this tour, and it's one of five game-used Babe Ruth uniforms that are known to exist today.
That's incredible, considering everything that over the years, you know, we talk about his Yankee uniforms, but he also did some barnstorming against Negro League teams, the Japanese tour that you talked about, which makes this truly different, truly unique for you.
Yeah, that's right. And actually, he, in his Hall of Fame induction in 1939, it was June 12th, 1939. It was actually right. 6 days after the first Little League game was played. He wore this uniform in Cooperstown for his induction ceremony. So, you know, we have photos of him in it. We have a Babe Ruth autographed baseball to go with it. And, of course, like you said, the rest of the museum is completely redone and a terrific place for people to visit.
What are some of the other signature parts of that museum that I think would be of general interest to many fans?
Well, one of the signature pieces that we have is called the Global Connections Touch Table, presented by Active Network. And what that is essentially a giant iPad where you go and spin a globe on it. You can play for kids. You know, there's a geography game that's tied in with Little League. But you can also learn something about every single league in the world, which really makes it unique because it's the only place in the world where you can get information on every league that exists today and see pictures from that league and blow the pictures up on the table and just have a lot of fun with it. We have a running track where you test your time going from home plate to first base at Lomedy Stadium, a fielding interactive to test your reaction time, a 3D interactive where you can see and actually feel what it's like to catch a fastball from Mike Mussina. just a lot of things for kids to do, but also, you know, more than nearly 300 artifacts from Little League's past, 200 of which have never been on display before.
How about a first base bag and a homemade home plate?
Those are the originator. Amazing things from the founder of Little League, Carl Stotz, who passed away in 1992, but his family was kind enough to loan us 17 of sort of the cream of the crop of the collection. And like you said, the first home plate that he carved from rubber that he found in his father's basement, the first base bag that the materials for which cost 34 cents, you know, is canvas stuffed with wood shavings. Really, really one-of-a-kind, unique things that people will really want to see.
What, Lance, has the expansion of the number of teams going to Williamsport, what has that meant to the growth of the tournament and to the popularity of Little League Baseball in general?
It's meant a tremendous amount. It means, you know, obviously there's eight more teams that get a chance to come to the World Series every year. So you're talking about, you know, 140 more kids every year that get a chance to come here to interact with other kids from around the world. And you know, that's what led to the first African team coming here last year from Uganda. This coming year, this World Series, starting August 15th, we're going to have the first Australian team. Australia, we've had tremendous growth in Australia recently, so they get an automatic berth now to the Little League World Series, and they've actually already determined their national champion will be a team from Perth that will be coming here.
That's incredible, because I know in broadcasting New York Penn League games, the number of players I see now from Australia compared to 5 years ago is exponential. And I remember this all started with Nielsen when he was playing for the Brewers. I mean, that really, all of a sudden, like, one of their own made it, and everybody said, you know what, maybe this isn't so bad, let's try it.
Yeah, and you know, cricket is the national sport in Australia, and kids see baseball as a much more active, fun thing to do. I mean, nothing against cricket, but it's a game that can last a couple of days. You know, so for kids, especially in Australia, baseball is really becoming their game of choice.
And this makes an incredible difference. But I think the expansion has done a world of good for all of Little League Baseball. Do you remember the moment when somebody from ESPN came up to Little League and said, you know, we wouldn't mind doing more than just the championship game?
You know, it probably predates me because actually when I was a volunteer and I umpired here in 1992, there were a few games, you know, besides just the championship that we're on. So it's been kind of a progressive thing over the years to where starting in 2002, it was basically every game is televised. And now we're expanding even more into all of our other divisions so that now more than 70 games in August, not just from here, but in all of our other divisions, are being televised on the ESPN family of networks, which, you know, is tremendous publicity for the program overall, because it allows us to get the word out to just millions and millions of people.
Do you remember the point, Lance, where somebody said we want to do the regionals? I mean, like pre-Williamsport? Because, I mean, that has helped jumpstart popularity even more so.
Yeah, and you know, and I do remember that in the late 1990s when the subject came up, and of course, you know, it's something great for us because, like I said, that really just helps to promote the program, and gets more and more teams, you know, national television exposure. But for ESPN, it works out great because, you know, August is kind of, I wouldn't say a dead time for sports, but the baseball pennant races are not really quite heated up yet. Football is just getting going. You know, the NFL is just playing their preseason games at that point. There's no basketball, no hockey. So for ESPN, it's a great way to fill that time with, you know, some great, great sports.
You said August is sort of a dead time. Kevin, did you hear that?
I heard that, but August is my favorite month. I've told you that. Simply because of the series, and you've got football starting. Lance knows what I'm talking about.
That's not what you said. It's your favorite month because every high school football team has a chance.
Well, that too.
There you go.
Realism dies on August 30th for half of them. All right.
That's also true.
Suddenly, out of nowhere, the dream dies in 3 hours on an August night. Lance, what are some of the plans that you have now for this year's tournament? Some things you want leading up to it, some things you want fans to know about ahead of time that they should be aware of before everybody congregates on Williamsport?
Well, the World Series kind of, I don't want to say runs itself because there's an awful lot of moving parts, but I think something people will notice is that we're gearing up for our 75th anniversary. In 2014, will be 75 years since the first Little League game was played, so it works into our whole idea of a diamond anniversary. And, you know, I think you'll see, along with the museum opening up, which happened last week, and, you know, right off the bat, this coming Friday, we have Babe Ruth's granddaughter coming for a visit here. It'll be the first time she's ever seen this uniform. So we would invite the public to come out. She'll be here at 10 a.m. this Friday and hear a talk by her, ask her questions, and we'll also have a Medal of Honor recipient, Ronald Rosser, who earned the Medal of Honor in the Korean War. So, you know, we have lots and lots of things planned over the next few months.
Have you been, I don't know, surprised is the right word, but pleasantly pleased with the cooperation you get from people who want to donate something to the museum?
Yeah, it's been great. And, you know, we don't purchase anything for display in the museum. We made a decision long ago. The same as the Baseball Hall of Fame is, you know, if people would like to donate something to us, we'll certainly take a look at it. But that, you know, we want it to be something that they want to have here that, you know, so the public can see it. Like the Babe Ruth uniform, you know, we didn't pay to have it exhibited. It's just something that the donor wants as many people as possible, especially children, to have a chance to see.
And that's the amazing part of it. A lot of people are very happy to donate to the museum if they think it's going to help the display. I mean, they're just happy to say, yeah, go ahead. We'd love you to. We'd like it. Whether it's on loan or permanent, they seem to be very pleased to do it. It's gratifying for you.
Yeah, absolutely. In our opening day on June 15th, we actually invited anybody who had donated anything to actually be in the museum, standing with the item that they donated, so that when people were coming through, they could ask them questions about it. It was a really special day for us.
How is Little League in this country right now? What's the state of it, Lance? Is it stable, down a bit, or has it grown a little bit in the last 10 years?
Well, it's down a bit the last 10 years, but I think recently, and we're looking forward to the numbers for this year, you'll see the numbers go up because we added that division, the intermediate division, with 50-foot pitching distance and 70-foot base paths. So we think that's going to keep kids around in the program longer into their teenage years, which you always in the past saw a big drop-off between the major division and the junior division because juniors played on the larger, you know, standard-sized baseball field. But this gives a sort of a transition year or two for those players who want to continue in the game. So I think our numbers are going to be up this year.
Yeah, I've always told people the two toughest years I had coaching, and I coached for 14 years, the two toughest years I had coaching were the years when the kids were 9 years old and could pitch to one another for obvious reasons. And the other one was, Lance, was 13 years old, where you transitioned from the Little League field to the major field.
Right.
Because you have to find, it's not just finding pitchers. You have to find a catcher. You have to find shortstop. You got to find a third baseman because everything is much further. And this intermediate thing would have been perfect for me as a coach.
Yeah, it's a long throw from the hole at shortstop to first base on a standard size field for a 13-year-old. So.
Yeah, no question about it. Lance, an absolute pleasure. Appreciate the time you gave us, and we look forward to this year's Little League World Series, and next year is going to be very, very special, and we're looking forward to being a part of it.
Very good. Thanks, Steve. Good to be here.
All right. Lance Van Auken from Williamsport, from South Williamsport, joining us. Notice what Lance said about August. I believe he referred to it as the dead month.
Well, he was talking about for television. He was talking about for television sports and broadcast sports.
And what do you do, Captain Sedentary?
I was talking about sports in general, not just television, you know, not just the broadcast side of things.
That's your favorite month of the year.
It's my favorite month of the year. Little League World Series, football.
You never mentioned you never mentioned that the other day.
Well, I shouldn't have to mention it. It's automatic. Listen, anybody that knows me knows that I am all about Little League Baseball. That goes without saying.
Oh, you were talking about every team going to training camp that has hope. Hope is alive in August.
And that's true.
Reality sets in for half of them on the 30th. Your favorite month. He picks the deadest month of the year.
Love August.
Oh my goodness. It's like cutting off the tops of roses and handing over the stems. All right. We'll come back with more. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Kia has 10 days to sell 50 more new Kias. The only way this will happen is to, number one, lower all selling prices. Number two, increase all trade valuations. Number three, give you the lowest interest rate you deserve. Sunbury Motors Kia has 2013 Kia Soul starting at $14,824 with interest rates starting at 1.9%. Built in the USA, 2013 Optimas are discounted up to $5,000 with selling prices starting at $19,998 and 0% financing available for 60 months. Remember, every new Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty and a 5-year, 60,000-mile basic warranty. Motor Trend's number one-rated full-size sedan, the 2014 Kia Cadenza, is in stock, ready to bathe you in luxury. Sunbury Motors Kia on the Golden Strip in Hummel's Wharf and at sunburymotors.com.
Not everyone qualifies for all rebates or low financing. Kia Sorento and Saran Optima GDI models are assembled in the United States from U.S. and globally sourced parts.
June, July, and August. Whisper in his ear.
Welcome back. We'll have a little bit more later. Elvis in the next hour.
That was the quickest one I could find that had August in the title. It was a little Nancy Sinatra for you.
Wow. Well, these boots were made for walking.
Yes, they were.
All right. That's fine. I know you love August. There had to be somebody. There's a reason they call it the dog days.
You know what? Nothing beats a Little League World Series, especially in August. You know, you get ready for football season. It's the end of Little League Baseball. You can take your kids up there for about $20 at the most and eat all day long. See some really good baseball.
All right, well, it's free.
And people that are playing, and guys that are playing baseball, and young ladies as well, that are playing it because they love it, not because there's a paycheck in it for them.
Right, I understand that.
Love that part of it.
Yes, I understand that. I do.
And then when that's done, the optimism of football season begins. It's an uplifting time of the year for me.
August. I spend most of August trying to get through it. All right. August for me entails football practice, okay, obviously, and then the opener's the 31st this year.
Right.
Okay. It also entails Spikes baseball, which is great, and that's really changed a lot of things for me in August. But I also feel like you're in that holding pattern, getting ready for what, you know, to kick into like your own little New Year's Day and then moving forward. So, I mean, that's August. You, on the other hand, just love it. You're not going to love it for a week, I can tell you that.
What week am I not going to love it?
First one.
Maybe I will. You don't know.
No, just the mere thought of it has had you panicked for months.
I wouldn't use the term panic.
Okay, let's take a poll on the station. Drew, panic, yes or no?
Well, now you're going to have to explain why.
I'm not here.
But you're not going to explain here?
Well, you take how many of them a year?
Let's see. I think three, yeah.
Yeah, and I've taken how many in a year and a half?
Seven, I believe. Every day is a vacation for you. What are you talking about? Just in case you forgot, you've got the coolest job ever.
I know I do. Okay? I completely understand that. In fact, I have been the one that has often talked in glowing terms about it. Doesn't mean once in a while I can't do something else before it kicks into high gear.
Yes, Steve will be vacationing that week. That's what he's referring to, my anxiety about the first week of August.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I already sent you a paper bag. Breathe. Tomorrow, David Taylor, the Penn State wrestler, is going to be on the show. Talk to him about how things are going for him in this offseason as he's advanced on the way. I predicted earlier today that I would be getting an email from Bill Amin directly from Wimbledon. And I did, as a matter of fact.
Where it's what, 10 o'clock, almost 10 o'clock now.
Yeah, it's almost 10 o'clock at night. And let's see, where is his email here? I said, as soon as Nadal lost, I said, here comes the email. And he kicked it in and says, not playing a grass tournament, heading into Wimbledon, really hurt Nadal. He did not get time to transition from clay to grass, and it showed in his performance. This upset is bigger than last year's because he came in on such a roll, playing so well since February. Nadal, Wimbledon.